beginning with Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 21:22. Good. You look scared. We're not going to do that. So I'm not going to read the entire Bible to you this morning, but we are going to attempt to talk about it. So let's pray about that, shall we? Let's go to God. God of creation, God who desires to be in covenant relationship with us, God who is present with us in the midst of crisis, God who became incarnate, God of people and of community, God who has called us to live beyond ourselves, and God who is coming again, be with us now. Amen. Well, I have this professor, his name is Dr. Fred Eady, and he decided that it would be really important if we had a theological tool to discuss scripture. Theology sometimes sounds like a scary word, but really it just means how we talk about God. And we do that every day, hopefully. And we definitely do that in this place. So this theological tool that Dr. Eady created is called the 7 C's. And we're going to work through those. We already have done that this morning in scripture and in song. We're going to talk a little bit more about them, and you'll find them over here. So let's first talk about creation. Somebody tell me where you might find creation in the Bible. Page one. This is not a trick question. We find the story of creation in Genesis 1. We also find another story of creation, another account of creation in Genesis 2. So there's creation, sure. Where else is creation in the Bible? Revelation. How? Where else is creation in the Bible? Is there such a thing as new creation? How do we become new creations? Who tells us about that? Jesus. These are not trick questions this morning. Jesus tells us how we can become new creations, right? So we have this idea of creation that sure begins this library of books, but it also is carried throughout our story. Somebody tell me about covenant. Where do we find covenant in the Bible? In the Old Testament, God creates covenant with who? Abraham. Who else? Noah. Very good. Who else does God create covenant with? Moses, right? And through all of these people, God is creating covenant with the people of Israel, the Israelites, right? Where else might we find covenant in the Bible? In the New Testament. That's a good answer, but where? Tell me where in the New Testament. Jesus comes to create a new covenant. Yes, so we find covenant in the New Testament as well with this idea of Jesus coming to create a new covenant with God's people. Tell me about crisis. Where do we find crisis in the Holy Scriptures? The flood. That's a big crisis. Where else? The Israelites were enslaved, weren't they? That's a big crisis as well. Where else might we find crisis? Jesus, as we've already mentioned a little bit, comes to make us new creations, comes to bring about a new covenant. But then what do we do? What happens to Jesus? We kill Jesus. Jesus gets killed, right? So this is for sure a crisis. Yes? Tell me about Christ. Yes. What else? Tell me about Christ. Savior. Yes. What else? Who is Christ?
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
The way, the truth, and the life. What did Jesus do on earth? He was a teacher. What else was he? He was a healer. He was a preacher. Yes. Yes. There is a story in Christ's life of how we know the fullness of the character of God, where we fully understand this Trinitarian idea of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that's through Jesus' baptism, right? Good. What about the church? The church in the scripture. Where do we find the church? In the Old Testament? In the New Testament, good. So Paul writes a bunch of letters to a bunch of different churches, right? We might call them house churches. Where else? Church gets established at some point, doesn't it? In Acts. In Acts 2, we sometimes call that in the life of the church, we wear red vestments. What do we call that? Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, right? In the Old Testament, we also see something that we might not refer to as the church in the Old Testament. The Israelites may not have referred to it as that, but we see a gathering of people. And in the video, it talks about gathered people in worship of God. So synagogue, something like that. Tell me about calling. What kind of calling do we find in Scripture? Samuel. Samuel's calling. Wonderful. What else? In Romans. So we heard that beautiful passage of the introduction of the letter to Romans, gospel according to Paul. Where else might we find calling? The disciples. Sure. So we talked about Acts 2 being the birth of the church. What is the long title for Acts? Acts of the Apostles. Good. So we have this story, this interweaving of calling that's been going on since the beginning, right? And we have the Great Commission to go and make disciples of the world. This is part of Rehoboth's mission. This is part of the general mission of the United Methodist Church to make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Good. Now tell me about this last one, coming reign of God. Where might we find that in Scripture? Revelation. Where else? In the Gospels. Where specifically? In John. Good. Good. So there's this one point where Jesus teaches us how to pray, right? We say this prayer every single week. Jesus teaches us to pray, for thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We believe as United Methodists that we're not just waiting around for some eternal glory, though we do put our hope and faith in that, in final salvation. We do believe that we have a job to do, that we have a calling to usher the kingdom here on earth. So good. So we have these seven C's. The first thing I want you to know about these seven C's is that they are connected. So they are all connected with one another, and they are chronological. So we recognized when we were talking about all seven of these C's, we found this one in Genesis, we found this one in Revelation. Right? So you can carry this all the way throughout the Holy Scripture in chronological fashion. But they are also interwoven. So let's talk about creation a little bit. God creates ex nihilo, out of nothing. But it does say in the Holy Scriptures that God separates the chaos. Right? So there's this tohu ivohu in the Hebrew language, the separation of the chaos, what we might refer to as chaotic waters. So there's this chaotic waters. So we might actually say that maybe this existed before, right? And that God goes and speaks into this chaos, creation, and calls it, what does God call God's creation? Good. So then we have this creation. We might have some crisis in the middle. We read a story about Cain and Abel. That probably wasn't good news, right? So then we also then move into covenant. God continues to create covenant with God's people. And then what happens to those covenants? We break them. So we have creation, we have covenant, we have crisis, but then God creates new covenant, and then we break that covenant. God creates new covenant, and then we break that covenant. We could do this all day, right? God creates covenant, God's people break covenant. So then what does God do? God says, okay, I'll put on my human flesh, and I'll come, and I'll live among you, and I'll create new covenant. And then what do God's people do? He gets killed, right? So there is this interweaving of all of these things. This tool also helps us acknowledge and recognize some symbols in Scripture. So I want to follow one of them with you for just a minute. Let's talk about the symbol of water. So we spoke briefly about creation, God creating out of the chaos, bringing order to the chaos. So there's this chaotic water. And then God creates covenant. Let's talk about, well, so we have Noah in particular. There's a lot of water involved in Noah's covenant. What about Moses? What's the first thing we hear about Moses? So he does part the Red Sea, right? So that there's definitely a connection with water there. But Moses is drawn out of the Nile River. Moses is actually pulled out of the water and then leads his people out of slavery to the edge of water and parts that water and leads his people through the water to freedom. But what lies on the other side of that freedom? The desert. Dry. No water in sight, right? So Moses doesn't actually get to carry this out, but then the people of God are carried into the promised land, part of a covenant, right? Moses doesn't actually get to lead them into the promised land, but Joshua does. And Joshua leads them through the River Jordan into the promised land. Water being a symbol of a bridge between slavery and freedom, of a bridge between bondage and ultimate grace. So then we talked a little bit about Christ and where we see and understand the fullness of the character of God is in Christ's baptism in the water. And then what does Christ tell us? Go and baptize. So our own story is even enveloped, our baptismal vocation from the water. And when we meet our Creator again, we do so by crossing over the River Jordan. There is this beautiful symbol of water that we can trace through this holy scripture that speaks to our story as people of faith. We are invited to be part of this story. We already are part of this story. This is a story that is continually unfolding, and it is the revelation of a living and creative God. I invite you now to hear another story. May you find yourself, may you find God, and may you recognize this story's place in the overarching story of a people of faith.